Welcome to the Wonder Woman podcast, where we discuss a variety of subjects all pertaining to optimizing your physique, building strength, developing a strong mindset, and tools to help you win at life. I'm Michelle McDonald, and I'm the founder of the Wonder Woman coaching team. We are a community of results-driven coaches and clients who believe that we can age like never before. Welcome, everyone, to the Wonder Woman podcast. My name's Michelle McDonald. I'm your host. And today we have a very special guest, Alyssa Ages, who wrote the book Secrets of Giants and is going to showcases her journey, her transition from an endurance athlete. She did marathons, triathlons, into strength training, as she's actually a strong woman competitor. And she wrote a book really diving into, you know, I guess, why people pursue strength. What are the benefits of strength training, and really how we can, as average people, as civilians, can leverage a lot of those lessons. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
We're excited to have you on. So let's just get right into it, because there's so much that I want to cover. And I think you're going to just speak so beautifully to our audience who are in pursuit of, you know, really optimizing their life and aging well. And this is not just for people that are, you know, older, but also for the younger generation, that pursuit of aging well. And I know you're a mother of two young girls. Yeah. How old are they now?
Six and four.
You are just a recently minted 40-year-old, I believe.
I am now 42. I will be 43 in May.
And when did you get started with strength training?
I've been doing this now for just 10 years. I came up on my 10-year anniversary in strength training.
Oh, wow. So it's been a while. So you started in your 30s.
Yeah, started in my 30s. So after completing, I'll backtrack. I was like not an athletic kid. I don't come from this, you know, athletic childhood. I decided to train for a marathon in my early 20s. And even though I had never run a mile before, and I trained, I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. I ended up running six marathons, decided I was going to now do triathlon, even though, again, I couldn't even swim a lap in the pool. I like to lovingly refer to my swim ability as like one of those inflatable tube men from the used car dealership falls into the deep end. That's what I looked like. But I ended up doing an Ironman. And when I finished the Ironman, I kind of thought, okay, I got to do something different. And I first tried hot yoga, which was not for me. But then I found my way into CrossFit. And I just loved it right away. It was this great combination of what I loved about cardio and something brand new for me, which was strength training. I was doing it for a couple of months, and a friend of mine from one of my classes said, you got to come to this strongman gym with me. And I went, and like day one of the things that we lifted was an Atlas stone, which if you've ever watched the, you know, old World Strongest Man competitions on ESPN, it's those big round concrete boulders, and it was 90 pounds. And I lifted it to my shoulder. And I remember just feeling this just sudden sense of like invincibility. There was nothing I couldn't do. And I fell in love with it. And I've been doing it for 10 years, but I did take a few years off of competing when I was trying to get pregnant and having my daughters. So the impetus for this book came from me kind of deciding, okay, I'm turning 40. I'm no longer trying to get pregnant, being pregnant, nursing a kid. What else can this body do? Like how strong can I make it now? And I went back into competing to find out.
I love that. So, and just so the, you know, people that are new to you, you know, you had a miscarriage, right? I think that you were in training for a competition. How far away were you from that first competition? Like months or something?
2 months. It was about 2 months away.
And training was going well and all of that. And then you ended up having a miscarriage. And I think that was a bit of a rabbit hole, right? Of you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that's important too. Go through things like this.
Yeah. So I had just moved from New York to Toronto. I was getting ready for a competition here. And my husband and I had just started trying to get pregnant. I mean, literally that month. And so I didn't expect anything. And I was lifting one of those Atlas stones in the gym, actually. And I remember feeling just like really tired, just this level of exhaustion that was different from anything I'd felt before. And when I went home, I took a pregnancy test. I found out I was pregnant. And then within a few weeks, I found out I was miscarrying. And you kind of, you know, logically that people in your life go through it. And I think there were probably times where I thought, you know, oh, you go through that so early, it doesn't matter. But it just takes those couple of weeks of knowing that you're pregnant to start kind of mentally planning what the rest of your life is going to look like. And so it was really, really took me from feeling like this incredibly strong, invincible person who could just kind of do anything and could tell my body to do anything and it would do it, to feeling kind of broken and weak and vulnerable. And like, I didn't trust that my body could do hard things anymore. And I also, you know, I blamed myself a lot, which ultimately I learned it was not my fault, but you go down that rabbit hole as well. And one of the things during that kind of recovery and while I was going through being at the fertility clinic was that I would keep going back to the gym and I would keep lifting. And I would find that every time I left, I walked a little taller. I had my head held high, my shoulders pulled back. It started to make me believe, you know, that my body was capable of doing hard things again. And that was really, really life-changing. And so when I decided to write this book, it was really kind of inspired by going through that experience and saying, what was it about strength training that did that for me? Why did it have such a strong impact on how I felt about myself?
And you ended up interviewing about 50 athletes, I think.
Yes.
Correct? And kind of getting their idea of their own journey and what strength training had brought to their lives. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible book. I mean, the book is called Secrets of Giants again, guys, and a great read. It's very anecdotal, right? Like you just get swept along and, you get to meet so many legends in the world of strength training, which I love. I love that. And you can, you know, go and pursue these people on your own as well. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. We had actually early on in one of our episodes, Jen Thompson and Marisa Inda. And Jen, of course, they're both fabulous, incredible, you know, world champions in the world of powerlifting. And I think you must know Jen Thompson because her bench press doesn't make sense. She's just such a down-to-earth, awesome woman. And probably like you, I mean, I loved your writing style and how you talk about the actual nitty-gritty of strength training. Like, I know that you do all the things, like the delight in taking the slack out of the bar and using your entire body to move the weight up. And, you know, I did one strongman, not competition, but I was at a gym and I had to lift an Atlas stone up. And you do not have to be told to pack your lats and keep the weight close to your body, because that's the only way that you're going to do it. You're not, you know, there's going to be no gap between that weight and your body. You're going to like leverage it up anyways. But it's just the audience that listens to these shows love all of it. They're in for all of it because they have discovered the power of athleticism and strength training and doing the hard things. So we're definitely speaking to the choir here. So I want to start off, you know, weaving a few thoughts together. So in her book, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance, Angela Duckworth, who we all know so well, she said, I wasn't going to fail because I didn't care or didn't try. That's not who I am. Right? And then you echo this value in your own editorial for, I think it was Slate, right? You said, strength training isn't about success. And I love this. Strength training isn't about success at all. It's about learning to accept, expect, and ultimately love failure. The resilience you develop through these missteps and the understanding that failing doesn't make you a failure permeates the rest of your life, affecting how you take risks, bounce back at work, in school, and social settings. I'd love to have you talk more about that and how life has changed for you because of this lesson that you learned from strength training.
Yeah. I mean, when I mentioned kind of briefly before that I was not an athletic kid, it's worth mentioning that I tried to be. I was 10 years old and I was playing Little League baseball. And I remember later in life, even just thinking about the fact that I never hit the ball. I knew that I never hit the ball. And I think my lone accolade during the season was I got the MVP game ball for getting hit with the ball and getting an automatic walk to first base. That was it. And some people might have gone, okay, I'm not great at this. How do I get better at it? But I didn't. Failure messed with me in a certain kind of way that made me go, I'm just not good at athletics. And I quite literally avoided them for like 10 years of my life as best as I could, just tried not to do any of it. And I was playing a corporate softball game when I was in my early 20s. And when I tell you I have not touched a baseball bat for 10 years before that, yeah, I had not. But I had to. And I got up to bat and I swung and I hit the ball. And I ran off to the side and I called my mom and I said, oh my God, mom, after all those swings and misses in childhood, like, I finally hit the ball. And she said to me, well, it wasn't that you swung and you missed all those times. You never swung the bat. And I realized I had been making up this story about myself for 10 years based on what I thought had happened, based on the fact that I thought I was just really bad at it. And it turned out I'd never tried. I was just so scared of failure that I never tried. And that was what sent me kind of down that road of, I'm going to do all these sports with absolutely no natural talent in any of them and just see what I can work hard to do. And that right away kind of taught me about the power of failure. But then strength training has taught me more about failure than anything I ever have done before. I mean, first of all, if you've ever gone into any good strength training gym, CrossFit gym, powerlifting gym, Olympic weightlifting gym, one of the first things they should teach you is how to fail. Like, they should teach you how to bail out from under a bar that is too heavy. And that's because it is absolutely expected that if you're going to push your limit in any way in the gym, you're going to fail. And you can't avoid it. If you want to set goals for yourself and reach them, you just have to learn how to get out of, like, how to fail them safely, right? So what can you do to expect that it's going to happen and then recover from it? And that's an incredibly powerful thing to be told right away. Hey, you're going to do this new sport and you are going to F it up a million times over. And I do. I mean, I screw it up all the time now. I have come in last in almost every single strongman competition I've done in 10 years, which really should deter me from the sport, but it doesn't, because I keep going, well, what else can I do? What can I change here? How can I, okay, I didn't get this lift this time. How can I make that a little bit better? And it's also made it so that I feel like, you know, as you mentioned, failure doesn't make you a failure. When I don't place in those competitions, I don't view myself as a failure. Now I go, well, what did you do today that was better than what you had done yesterday or in your last competition? It doesn't matter what anyone else has done. And I know that in a lot of sports, that kind of feeling can exist. But in strongman in particular, it's this very interesting vibe where everyone who's there, your fiercest competition, whatever, they just want to see someone hit a record, someone hit a lift they've never done before. It's just so exciting to watch people do something that is at the absolute end of their physical capability and go past it. And I think that's just incredibly powerful.
I love that. That really echoes my own experience with powerlifting. And I have done sports my entire life. I was a scrappy, tiny little thing that didn't weigh, you know, three digits until I think grade 10. I was just so tiny. But I love sports. But sports are always very competitive. And of course, a lot of times what's missing in the world of competition is that language of like what competition actually is, which is striving together. I think, did you mention that about striving together versus, you know, pitting yourself against the other person? Which I love. And when in powerlifting, it was the first time I think, you know, again, we all have our hallucinations of reality, but I think it was my first time in an event where everybody is so all in to the lift being complete. And my mom goes to almost all my events. She has my entire life. She still does. And she was, you know, I'd be in the back and I would literally hear my mom's voice like yelling and encouraging, like up, 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 whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever was on the platform and halfway through the competition, people said to me, wow, your mom is amazing. Like she was all there. But I mean, everyone's like that, cheering each other on. And in your heart, like truly in your heart, I think because you know what it's like to be under the bar or to have that bar in your hands and trying to move the weight. You're really in that experience with other people, and every cell in your body wants that person to do that lift. It's almost like if they do their lift, maybe you're going to do your lift, or I don't know what it is. There's this alchemy at these meets.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think powerlifting, almost failure is kind of baked into powerlifting almost more than any other strength sport, because the idea is, right, you're going to go out and your first lift is something that's hard, but like you're pretty sure you can do it. Second lift, generally you're going for some kind of a PR or at least like the most you've ever done in the gym. And then your third one, you kind of go out there expecting that like, this is really out of the realm. And if I hit this, amazing. But the idea that you go out there for your final lift, almost anticipating that that's going to be a failure, but I'm going to give it a shot, is pretty cool.
You know, as a coach, because we're talking about embracing failure and pushing yourself and all of that. But on the other hand, there's this idea. I wasn't sure if I was going to get into this with you or not, but we're going for it, Elsa. you know, lifting safely. And, you know, we coach online. I've been coaching online since 2012. And generally what I tell my clients is unless I tell you to go to failure, right? I want you to push as close to failure as you can get, but maintain control. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because there is that dance between pushing yourself to your limits. And a lot of times that means going beyond your limits, but the wear and tear on the body, lifting safely, you know, the worst thing for progress is to be sidelined for months because of an injury. So you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I'm sure you've had injuries, you've been in the gym with other people that have had injuries.
Oh yeah, I have definitely had injuries, although less so from strength training than I did from endurance training. I should add that. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's this impetus for a lot of us when we go into the gym of like, you just kind of, if you lift something and it's easy and you really like strength training, I don't know if this is just me, but I always feel like, oh, I want to do more. Like that was easy today. Like what else is in the tank? And there's this drive to almost want to hit your one rep max every time you go do something, but you can't, right? You can't do that to your central nervous system every time you go in. So yeah, I think the idea of getting close and touching failure without actually necessarily failing. I mean, I don't know if it's the same in powerlifting, but in strongman, you're not usually training to absolute failure on anything because we're not really going for hypertrophy. We're going for strength, but yeah, I think it's interesting to be able to touch that close to that point and then have the restraint to pull back from it as well.
Okay. And then obviously as you've progressed as an athlete, because now you are an athlete, you've probably had that experience of, you know, pushing far past what the beginner you would have deemed your pain threshold, right? So you're able to get to that place and almost relish those reps or those lifts where, you know, everything's burning, your muscles are quivering, your heart rate's like 170 or whatever, and you should have technically given up ages ago, but you're able to grind through it. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's this idea of getting really comfortable with sitting in that discomfort, right? Because, you know, Pain, acute pain, obviously we want to avoid that. But the pain of discomfort, I think, can be really empowering when you know that you can endure that feeling and get through it and push past it and that you didn't let it stop you. I think especially if you're somebody like me who trains, you know, 3 out of the 4 days a week that I strength train, I do it in my garage. So there is no one in there that's going to know if I skip a rep because it got hard, but I'm going to know. And when you train for long enough, you start to care about becoming accountable to yourself, which is really important. And that it's something that carries over to everything else in my life. And an interesting example of something that just happened recently where I used that and I hadn't thought about the connection until just now. But I was at the Arnold Sports Festival a week or two ago, which for anybody who doesn't know is this just massive confluence of people who love strength and they're competing and they're fans and there's an expo and there's 80 different strength sports and it's wild. And I went there to sell copies of my book and they put me at this autograph table and which was really cool. And I got this whole sign with my name on it. And I said, you know, hey, because I'm not going to be on the main schedule, can you put me next to whoever the most popular people are at the same time as they're there? Which I thought was this really great idea. And I ended up being next to this bodybuilder who is particularly huge on YouTube and social media. And as I watched the lineup for him, I'm looking and I'm going, oh God, this is not my audience. This is a lot of teenage boys and, you know, people who, like, I don't know if they're going to read this. I don't know if they care to read a book about like a 40-year-old mom and her strength journey. And so I'm watching hundreds of people line up for him. And I'm right next to him and I'm staring out at the barrel of nobody waiting in my line. You know, every once in a while, someone trickles over out of curiosity. And there were so many times that I wanted to get up and walk away. It was so uncomfortable. I'm in the background of people's pictures that they're taking with him. It was just, you know, there's this level of kind of mortification of it. And I kept thinking, like, no one is making you sit here. If this sucks, you can get up and you can walk away and you don't have to be doing this anymore. And the worst that happens is you've got to bring these books home with you. And I had a 90-minute time slot and I just kept going, you can do this. You can sit in this discomfort for 90 minutes and own it. And I did. I didn't take my phone out and scroll. I just sort of sat there and kind of looked out on this crowd and tried to smile at as many people as I could and just dealt with that, not even failure, but just kind of really crummy, uncomfortable situation. And I don't know, I do know that I wouldn't have been able to do that even 10 years ago. That is something that I've really learned from just being able to sit in discomfort in the gym that I've truly translated to my life outside of the gym.
Yeah. You said in your book, I think it was on rebuilding trust.
Yeah.
Chapter on rebuilding trust. You said, given the choice, it's like your version of like the midlife crisis, right? That people make. Like you said, given the choice to, was it run towards discomfort?
Yeah.
Or beat to comfort, you chose discomfort. And that has made such a huge difference in the trajectory of your life, right? Which is really what this is all about. This journey towards strength.
Yes, exactly.
You learn to test yourself, you know, and it's so true. You learn to test yourself in the safety of the gym, right? And then you learn that you have so much left in the tank and you learn to keep pushing yourself. I love AMRAP tests. I throw AMRAP tests to my clients. If they're listening, they'll know what I mean because so at the Wonder Woman, we coach women how to become an athlete. So you don't exercise, you train, your nutrition fuels your workouts, like all of the language, all of the things. And we have actually asked them to report their RPEs and we do all the things.
Yeah.
And I love AMRAPs because they'll be saying, oh, that was an RP8. And I'm looking at the bar speed or whatever it is that they're doing. And I'm like, well, I'm not really seeing much. I can see you're huffing and puffing, but the bar speed's not changing, right? And so I'll give them an AMRAP test to do the following week, and I'll say lift the same weight, but just go until you absolutely can't do another weight, and they'll tack on like an extra 10.
Yeah, I love that.
Reps. Yes. It's like, yes. That means you didn't have any effective reps, right? Yeah. Like all that time in the gym you're just maintaining. So, you know, you learn to endure a lot more than you think you're capable of. And that is so fundamental. How can we as women apply that to the aging process? You know, you said that you embraced discomfort instead of accepting a slow descent into aging. Could you explain that a little more?
Yeah. I mean, I think as women, we've been told for a really long time, and more so as you get older, that, you know, now it's time to kind of like hang up your like, you know, tough sports stuff, just lean into something gentle and easier. And I mean, we can talk in a minute about, you know, how terrible that is for just your actual aging process, but even mentally, you are going to age faster if you're believing that you're aging faster. The master's group in strongman and strongwoman is so competitive. I won't even enter it because I'm like, absolutely not. Masters is 40 and up.
Okay.
And then there is also a 50 and up masters, but I won't even touch it. Those women are way stronger than I am. I'm still sticking to my weight class for now. I think that's, it's just important to not go, okay, there's this dead end of my life that I've been told forever that 40 is this dead end. And it's not. I think I have more confidence in myself and who I am and my abilities I know I'm just into my 40s now, but already I feel like I believe I can do more, and I'm kind of confident in just knowing what I want to do and how I want to feel and the space that I want to take up and just doing that. And I think that's incredibly important. And then on the physical side of it, I mean, we know as we get older, all the crummy stuff that happens of starting to, you know, lose bone density and lose muscle mass and muscle strength and muscle power. And the only way that we can mitigate that is from strength training, is from having, you know, doing something weight bearing. So when we've told women forever, just, you know, oh, be careful, don't get hurt. What we're actually doing is setting them up to get hurt, right? Because if you're not doing this, then you have, when you couple, you know, the loss of balance that comes with muscle loss, the loss of strength, the loss of bone, that's where you get into these really scary situations, right? Where let's say you have a trip, you trip on something. And because you don't have great balance, because you haven't been, you know, working on your strength, you continue to fall. Now you also don't have the strength to pick yourself back up and stop yourself from falling. Now you fall. And because you have that, you know, weakened bone density, now you have a fracture. Now you start to worry about losing independence because you're not going to recover from that as easily. And if we keep telling women, hey, don't do this, we're going to put more of us at risk for that.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Wonder Woman podcast. You know, we don't make money from this podcast. Our mission is to get as much great information out there to the widest audience possible to help more people like you thrive at any age. You could really help us out by sharing this episode with a friend who needs to hear this, or share the link to your favorite episode in your stories or whatever social platform you use. Second, please leave a rating and review on ratethispodcast.com/Wonder Woman. You're not just showing your support for the show, you're also helping other women find us. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Thanks again for tuning in. That wraps up episode one of a two-part series with Elisa Ages. We discussed her journey from an endurance athlete to a mother of two daughters, a strong woman competitor, and an author. She emphasizes the importance of embracing failure and learning to expect and love it, something essential we learn in the gym. And Elisa also shares how strength training has taught her to push past her own limits and endure discomfort, both in the gym and in life. She also encourages women to challenge societal expectations and embrace strength training as they age. Tune in next week as we explore the conflicting messages around strength for women and how we can change the narrative for younger women.